Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So the event that kicks things off in our gospel lesson is the fact that a man who was struck dumb because of a demonic infestation into his life and body was brought to Jesus, and with a word, Jesus cast out the devil, and this man who had been struck dumb by the indwelling of this demon was able to speak. And everybody who witnessed this miracle wondered. Now, wonder can either be good or bad. Wonder is a kind of a non-committal word. When it's meant in the good sense, it means that they were very impressed and that this was the first step in their road to faith and salvation. But many times, wondering is something that simply doesn't go anywhere. You know, I remember one time on, as it is, it usually is, on an Easter Sunday, some adult child of a longtime church member came to church, and after the service, when they were saying good morning, this guy says to me, he says, you know, you really speak clearly. You know, I have no trouble understanding. He said, that was very good. And, you know, I said, oh, well, thank you very much. And then, you know, I thought for a moment, how many times haven't I heard something like that? Right? How many times haven't I heard somebody who is positively affected for the moment, but when all comes down to it, they remain with their life the way it is. And so in here, Jesus casts out a devil, and the people wondered. For some of those people, it was the beginning of a movement towards faith. But to many of these people, it was just, huh, what do you think about that? And that's all it did. But it was nevertheless a sign. So, immediately we catch a number of reactions. Number one, wondering. Number two, some people said, he's in league with the devil. That's why he can do these miracles, because Satan is giving him the power to cast out devils. Now, this is an idiotic excuse. The other reaction is that others sought of him a sign from heaven. And this is another imbecilic excuse. Why? Because they just saw a sign from heaven. Right? Some people are never satisfied. Every time you answer one question, they have another one. Yeah, but. Because really, they want to catch you. All right? And there are some people, no matter how many miracles they see, they got to see yet one more, or else they won't believe. And other people, they will come up with the craziest reasons why they don't have to believe in Jesus. He casts out devils through Beelzebub. That's why he's doing this. Therefore, I don't have to believe him. So what does Jesus have to say about this? Well, he doesn't say about anything directly to the people who are wondering, right? He lets that wondering do its work. But to the people who said that he's in league with the devil, he says, he tells them that your argument is absurd. If that were so, Satan's kingdom couldn't stand, all right? And then he says, not only is your argument absurd, And people will believe any stupid thing that they pick up on the internet. Why? Because it's really intellectually and spiritually compelling? No. It's because they don't want to be believers, and they'll grab onto anything to give them the impression that they don't have to grab onto Jesus. So they'll believe anything that lets them stay away from Jesus. So it's not a matter of, I'm too intelligent to believe in Jesus. Right? So here, Jesus says, your argument is not only absurd, but your argument is also inconsistent. He says, because if I cast out devils through Beelzebub, by whom do your guys cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. Oh, so they get a pass, but I don't? The same thing is being done, but in my case, I'm the Beelzebub guy, and you give them a pass? You know, politicians do this all the time. When one of their oxes get gored, it's like no big deal, right? But when the other guy's ox gets gored, it's like the biggest tragedy on the face of the earth. This is what life is like in this world, my friends. That's why politicians are never your saviors, right? Only Jesus is your savior. And so here, Jesus dismisses these guys with, you are being absurd, and you are being intentionally inconsistent. And the reason is because you don't want to believe in me. You don't want to believe in me. And then he moves on and he says, he gives the real significance of the devil casting out that he just did. What does it mean that Jesus casts out a devil with a word? What does that mean? What's the significance? He says, if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. So what this miracle does is it points to the fact that in Jesus Christ and in his gospel, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and everlasting life through Jesus Christ has come near to you. Don't blow it. All right? The kingdom of God has come upon you. So the first thing that Jesus' exorcism proves is that the kingdom of God is present graciously for you in the person and the work of Jesus Christ the Lord. The second thing is this. You know, in the Old Testament, there are two kinds of prophecies about the Messiah. Number one, the prophecies about the king and his kingdom. And the other is the seed who will overcome Satan on behalf of fallen sinners. In Genesis chapter 3, after God confronts Adam and Eve with their sin, and they try passing the buck, they try everything to squeak out from under it, but they're just left in their sin, standing naked before God and ashamed. So God turns to the devil, and he says to the devil, in the hearing of Adam and Eve, so he's talking to the devil, but he's making an indirect promise to Adam and Eve and to us. And God says to the devil, I will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed, the children of the devil, and her seed, the Messiah. Right? The Messiah will crush your head, and you will bruise his heel. So that means that in the crucifixion of Jesus, which bruised his heel, because he rose again from the dead. In the crucifixion of Jesus, God has conquered Satan so that we who believe are no longer under the devil's dominion, but we have been redeemed by the Son of God, and therefore we are free. So, two things here that this exorcism shows us. Number one, the kingdom of God is graciously present for us in Jesus Christ. And number two, the devil's head has been crushed for us. And though he tempts us, we finally in Christ obtain the victory. So he says, when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. In other words, the devil is the strong man. He's the head of the wicked cartel. And as long as he's got his hacienda well guarded, nobody can touch him, right? But when somebody who is stronger comes upon him and overpowers him, he takes away all of his armor and he divides the spoils. He plunders the kingdom of the strong man. Jesus is the stronger one, and he has come and plundered the devil on behalf of our eternal salvation. And therefore, in Jesus, we are free. And then Jesus turns to the whole crowd in general and says, and here's an important thing for modern Americans especially, right? And modern so-called Christians. Right? He that is not with me is against me. And he that does not gather with me scatters. You see what Jesus is saying? There's no fence sitting, right? There is no fence sitting. There's no, oh, maybe a little bit of this and a little bit of that. No. You are either with Jesus by faith or you are against him. You are either participating in the gathering of Jesus or you are working against him by scattering. And there's no neutral ground, right? We're either one or the other, not both and not somewhere in the middle, right? And then he talks about the danger of not taking care of spiritual business. And he says, when a demon goes out of a man, that demon goes through waterless places looking for a place to rest. But he doesn't find any, because demons can't find rest anywhere. So he says to himself, I'll go back to the house that I was living in before. And when he goes, he finds it swept and tidied up. What does that mean? It means someone who was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, by their own fault, fell away from faith, fell away from the grace of God, and put themselves in a vulnerable spiritual position. And the devil that was cast out in holy baptism can at any time come back, and instead of seeing a soul that is soundly founded upon the rock of the Word of God, finds a vulnerable, empty heart. And so the demon, he doesn't just move back in, but he goes and he finds seven other demons who are even more wicked than he is, and they all come and they all move in. So that the last state of that man is worse than the first. Here's what happens to everybody who stays away from Jesus. Now hear this. This is the word of God. They go from bad to worse to hell. From bad to worse to hell. Now why does Jesus say this? He says this so that we won't let this happen. He is cautioning people. He's cautioning the Pharisees and the scribes. He's cautioning those people who will not receive him because they don't want to. He says, don't let this happen to you. Come to me. The kingdom of God is present for you in me. I am the stronger one. I have conquered Satan on your behalf. Come to me and you will be saved. So when Jesus finishes saying this, there's this lovely woman in the crowd, and she is just thrilled, all right? She is just absolutely thrilled. So she says, like, the one thing that she can think of that is like the greatest compliment in the world. Your mother is a lucky woman, right? That's what she's saying. Blessed is the womb that bare you and the breast which you have sucked. In other words, your mother is a blessed and lucky woman. And Jesus kind of, he responds to her. He doesn't respond to her with a kind of a sour rejection. He kind of with a smile on his face, I'm reading between the lines. He says, yea, rather, yes, but. He says, I get what you're saying, you know, and thank you, right, for the compliment. I get what he's saying, but blessed are they that hear and keep the word of God. Blessed are they that hear and keep the word of God. Now, something that you need to understand about Greek, which this is all written in. Greek doesn't have a present tense like English present tense. The Greek present tense always has an idea of continuity. So in our English translation, it says, blessed are they that hear and keep the word of God. But in Greek, when a Greek hears the Greek being read, what they hear is, blessed are they that are hearing and keeping the word of God. Because in Greek, the present tense is continuous. So hearing and keeping, hearing and keeping. These are ongoing things. They begin at a certain point, but they continue to take place. And that's what faith is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here, Jesus says, they are blessed who are hearing, receiving, and keeping, treasuring the word of God. You see, when we're doing that in the name of Jesus, we are assuring that God will always be helping us because he works in our hearts by means of his word and by means of his holy sacrament. And so thank the Lord that his kingdom is here for us and that his victory over Satan is assured to us so that we may be confident that in him we will endure unto the end and be saved. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.